So one of the things is I won't be here on Monday. There will be somebody else teaching the course on Monday. So it'll be a substitute, if you like, on Monday. And the guy who got to do it is Peter Stevenhagen. He's visiting from Holland, and he's a very excellent teacher, and he has a really fun-sounding accent. So definitely come on Monday to hear his lecture on differential equations. He's going to give the first introduction on differential equations. And he also just taught 20D last quarter, so he knows a lot about it. Unfortunately, there'll also be a substitute on the last day of class. And that's the review session. But the substitute for that will be John Edgars, who's the coordinator for the course. He's an excellent instructor as well, extremely good. And he'll answer your questions for an hour about, you know, you'll have a lot of questions about what might be on the final, what you should learn, what you need to know. He'll answer all your questions. Since he's making the final, he's an excellent person to do that. So there'll be 2 days when I'm not here, but there'll be people as good as me or better on both days, okay? All right, so on to today. Today's lecture is about Taylor series. And the idea today is that, well, last time I showed you some examples of functions and the power series expansion. For example, the geometric series was sum x to the n. I mentioned, though I didn't prove, that e to the x is equal to sum x to the n over n factorial. I also derived a power series expansion for arctangent, for the inverse tangent function. And I did it via some weird trickery that involved differentiating, finding a Taylor extent, or finding a power series expansion and integrating. So today I'm going to tell you a systematic method for computation of power series of very general functions, and it'll allow us to very quickly derive the fact that e to the x is sum x to the n over n factorial. It'll allow us to derive formulas for sine, cosine, etc. in a very nice, easy, systematic manner. And this this idea that the name of the person is European, it goes back to India in the 1300s. So it's really an old method. So here's the basic idea. And once you understand this, you'll understand really the core of what it's about. It's the following. Let's suppose you have the following funny problem. Say there's a polynomial f of x of degree 3. So this is a polynomial of degree 3. That means it looks like the following. Dx cubed plus, actually I write it backwards. It looks like the following. A plus bx plus cx squared plus dx cubed. And suppose that you don't know A, B, C, or D, but you know the following information. You know that f of 0 is equal to 4, f prime of 0 is equal to 3, f double prime of 0 is equal to 4, and f triple prime at 0 is equal to 6. Question, is that enough information to figure out what the polynomial is?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Here's why. Well, first, what is f of 0 if you just look at it here? This is 0, that's 0, and that's 0, so a is equal to f of 0. What about f prime of 0? If you differentiate this, you get f prime of x equals b plus 2cx plus 3d squared, 3dx squared. If you evaluate the derivative at 0, these latter terms all go away, and you end up with b. So b is f prime of 0, which is 3. Now you take the next derivative of this polynomial, f double prime. Then that's the b disappears, and you get 2c plus 6dx. Okay? And if you evaluate this at 0, all the higher stuff goes away, and you get 2 times c. So you've now found a, b, and c. C equals 2. Can you find d using a certain method? Excellent. 60, where did you get that from?
Third derivative.
Sure, third derivative. We take the third derivative, you get that the third derivative is equal to 6d, and if you evaluate the constant function 6d at 0, you get 6d again. So you see that 6d is equal to 6, which implies that d is equal to 1. So your polynomial, which started out being mysterious, is in fact equal to 4 plus 3b, sorry, plus 3x plus 2x squared plus x cubed. Okay, so isn't that neat? If you have a polynomial and you know the values of the derivatives of that polynomial at 0, like so, you can recover the polynomial from that information. It gives you enough information. Now, the neat thing is something similar is true for power series. So let's suppose now, let's try to use this idea that we used for polynomials to say something about power series. What about power series? So suppose now you have a function f of x, and it's equal not to a polynomial, but to a power series, some c sub n x minus a to the n, as n goes from 0 to infinity. So suppose you have such a power series. Let's assume that f is equal to, well, let's assume that this power series converges somewhere. Which do we need? Yeah, let's assume that this has some positive radius of convergence. So it makes sense to differentiate it and to, I mean, there's no real meaning to differentiating and working with a series that has radius of convergence 0. So assume that R, the radius of convergence, is greater than 0. Okay, now look at what you can do. Our goal would be to figure out what the C sub n are, given information about the derivatives of f evaluated at the point A, like we did over here. And the reason this is useful is because you might do the following. Let's suppose that you have the function f of x equals e to the x, and you really want to know what a power series expansion is of it. Okay, over here I claimed it's this. But what you can do instead is just say e to the x equals let's just say the following. What if you just wrote e to the x equals c0 plus c1x plus c2x squared plus c3x cubed plus dot dot dot. Assuming that e has a power series expansion at all, you can use the trick like I just showed you to determine what the c sub n have to be. For example, if you evaluate both sides of this at 0, you get f of 0 is equal to, on the one hand, it's equal to the number 1, which is e to the 0. On the other hand, if you evaluate the right-hand series at 0, you just get c sub 0. So we've figured out what c0 is. It's 1. What about c sub 1? Well, if you take the derivative of f and evaluate it at 0, what's the derivative of e to the x? That's just e to the x. So you have 1 again. On the other hand, if you differentiate this series over here, it works just like with the polynomial. The higher order stuff doesn't really matter too much. If you differentiate this, you get c1 plus, so let me differentiate this. You get c1 plus 2c2x plus 3c3x squared plus dot dot dot. And if you evaluate that at 0, you get c1. So now we know c0 and c1. And you can just keep doing this. The second derivative of f at 0, that's the second derivative of e to the x. E to the x's derivative is just e to the x again, so that's 1 again. And on the other hand, the second derivative of this power series is 2c2 plus 6c3x plus higher order terms. If you evaluate that at 0, you get 2 times c2. So you get 2 times c2 here, and that implies that c2 is 1 half. So that's what you put up here, 1 half x squared. And let's do one more term. F triple prime is 0. That's just 1 again, because all the derivatives of e to the x are e to the x again. And on the other hand, differentiating this, you get 6c3 plus
something else, I don't know, something else times x, etc. If you evaluate that at 0, you get 6 times c3. And indeed, that means that if you, you know, you have 1 equals 6 times c3, so this is 1/6 x cubed. And it keeps going, and the denominators here, as we'll see more clearly in a moment, they're just factorials, the products of the integers up to n. So you see how, just by using this idea of evaluating the derivatives of a function at a point, you can find the coefficients of the power series expansion of a function if it has a power series expansion. Some functions do, some functions don't. But when you have one that does, then you can just read off the coefficients if you can compute the derivative of the function and evaluate. And there are some functions such as e to the x, sine of x, tons of functions that you know about. You know a lot about computing their derivatives as well. And usually that's the easy thing. So let me tell you how it works in general. So suppose you have a function f, and it has this power series expansion. Here's a formula for the c sub n. This is the theorem. I'll call Taylor series. It says the following. The c sub n are given by a formula. Cn is the nth derivative of f, evaluated at a, over n factorial. Okay? For example, for e to the x, all the derivatives are, so here it says that cn is the nth derivative of e to the x evaluated at a. So I'm taking a to be 0 in this example. So that's e to the 0 over n factorial. So if e to the x has a power series expansion, that power series expansion has coefficients 1 over n factorial. That's what this theorem says. And why is it true? Well, it's just what I've been showing you in both of these examples. If you take this and evaluate it at a, you see that f of a is equal to c0. So if you write this out, it just says c0 plus c1 times x minus a plus c2 times x minus a squared, and so on. So f of a is c0. F prime of a I'll erase this. So what is f prime? F prime of x is sum n equals 1 to infinity n c sub n x minus a to the n minus 1. And if you evaluate that at 0, you just get c sub 1. And if you take f double prime at a, so take the second derivative of this, f double prime x, that's sum n minus 1, so as n goes from, I guess, 2 to infinity now, x minus a to the n minus 2. And if you evaluate that at 0 at a, you get, it's probably better if I write this out as 2, and I left out the c sub n, so got it. I'm being lazy by leaving things as sums. I think it's probably confusing, so I think I'll write everything out. So f of x is c0 plus c1 x minus a plus c2 x minus a squared, and so on. The derivative is c1 plus c2 times 2 x minus a plus c3 times 3 times x minus a squared, and so on. And then f double prime of x is c2 times 2 plus c3 times 6 times x minus a plus c4 times, what we'll go here is So the coefficient of C4 is going to be 4 times 3 x minus a squared. Because each time you took a fourth power down and a third power down, and then the 2 still there. And so on. So there's no relation with what's over here. And if you evaluate the second derivative at 0, I mean, sorry, at a, what do you get? You get 2 times c2. And if you take the third derivative and evaluate it at a, let's just take the third derivative of this, and that's the constant term goes away, and it's 6 c3 plus higher order terms. And when you evaluate that at 0, you get 6 times c3. So notice that the c sub n in each case you get by taking the nth derivative and dividing by n factorial. You amass an n factorial as each of the exponents comes down when you take derivatives. Okay. This is just an explanation of why the theorem is true. You have a function and it equals a power series on some with some positive radius of convergence, then the coefficients of that power series have to be given by this simple formula. Okay, any questions? Okay, first application, take e to the x. If it's given by a power series, then it's given by this power series. And the reason it's given by this one is because the derivatives at 0 of e to the x are all equal to 1 when you put in 0. Let's compute the radius of convergence of the power series I wrote down for e to the x. And usually the easiest way to compute these radiuses of, or these the radius of convergence is to use the ratio test. That may or may not work for all, I mean, there are examples where it doesn't work, but usually it works. So let's compute the radius of convergence of this. By the way, if this were a more advanced course, I would talk to you a lot about how there are examples of functions that for which all the derivatives exist, but for which the function, and the function's nice and continuous, but the function doesn't equal its Taylor expansion. But since this course isn't like that, I won't go into detail there. Except I'll just tell you one function like that without telling you why or anything. But if you let f of x be e to the minus 1 over x squared, for x not equal to 0, and make it equal to 0 for x equal to 0, then what is the limit as x goes to 0 of e to the minus 1 over x squared is 0. So you get a continuous function, and it's differentiable at 0. But the values of all of its derivatives at 0, turns out all the derivatives are also sort of 0 at 0, the values of all the derivatives of this function at 0 are 0. So you get that the power series from this formula would just have all the coefficients 0. But it certainly doesn't equal this function, even though that power series has, the 0 power series has infinite radius of convergence. So this is an example that shows that you can't just use this formula and apply it to any function at all. You can only apply it to functions that actually converge to their power series expansion. So this is an example to watch out for. It's an example, or a counterexample, or whatever. So back to this question, what's the radius of convergence of the power series sum x to the n over n factorial? Well, here's what it is. So the radius of convergence is the following. Well, you use the ratio test, and what we're going to do is apply the ratio test for an arbitrary x, and then see for which x's the ratio test tells us that we have convergence, okay? So the limit as n goes to infinity of the n plus first term in absolute value divided by the nth term in absolute value is what I've given there. So now it turns out that this simplifies a lot. You just get limit as n goes to infinity, absolute value of x divided by n plus 1. Okay?
If you fix a specific value of x, does this converge?
No.
You say no. Okay, why do you say no? If I fix a specific value of x, for example, 389, does this limit exist? Is it good at zero? Well, I mean, not only does it exist, does it go to zero? So some people said no. Why did you say no? So for example, what about the sequence 1 over n? Does that sequence converge to 0? Or does it diverge? Converges. So what about this? If I fix a specific value of x, I wonder whether or not this infinite series for a specific choice of x converges. So I use the ratio test. I compute the ratio of the successive terms of the series, and I get this thing. It's a function of x, but you're taking the limit. So for a specific value of x, you take the limit as n goes to infinity. Do you get something? What do you get there? So you're going to get something, but what? So like if x were, let's say x were 2006, then the terms of this sequence would be 2006 over 1, then 2006 over 2, and then eventually 2006 over a billion, then 2006 over a trillion, and so on. What does that sequence converge to if it converges?
Zero.
Excellent. This is zero. It doesn't matter at all what x is. X is, I mean, no matter what choice you make for x, this sequence converges to zero. Okay? That tells you by the ratio test that this power series converges for any value of x. And that means that its radius of convergence is infinite. R is infinite. And in fact, e to the x does equal this power series, and it has infinite everywhere. So these two are equal everywhere. It's something, so essentially all the functions you see in this class do equal the power series on some radius of convergence, I mean, to wherever the thing is defined. But that's something that I can't justify for you for this class. Okay, so that's one example. And essentially, I'm just going to give you a couple more examples for the rest of the lecture. Oh, by the way, in the book, they often talk about Maclaurin series. You might think that's like a whole other thing you have to worry about. The Maclaurin series isn't really a big deal. All it is a Taylor series with A equal to 0. That's all a Maclaurin series is. So Maclaurin series. Equals Taylor series with A equals 0. And I'll never use the phrase Maclaurin series again. It's just that you see, for some reason, math calculus textbooks use the phrase Maclaurin series a lot. But all it means is Taylor series with A equal to 0. That's it. Okay, so now that you have this theorem, which is that if you have a function that has a power series representation at all, and most functions that you know about, almost all of them do, maybe all of them, then the coefficients of that power series representation are given by this simple formula. Now the natural question is, okay, how can I apply this? Given any function you know about, sine of x, cosine of x, etc., you can use this, if you understand how to compute derivatives, to write down a power series expansion for your function. And this was done, for example, by, some Indian named Madhava. He wrote down a power series expansion for, I don't know the details, I can't remember. But for some function, was able to use it to compute pi to 11 decimal places, which was more than anybody had done in all history before him. So these power series can be really useful for approximating things like pi, for example. Okay, so here are some more examples. So we'll do two things. We'll find a power series for cosine of x and a power series for sine of
x, what about a equals pi over 2? And this one we'll do about a equals 0. Okay, so we're going to find two power series extensions. But again, a standard problem is given a function, find its Taylor expansion about a given point. And I'll illustrate it first with sine of x about a equals pi over 2. This is nice because the point that you're expanding about is not 0, which is a little bit different than here, where the a is 0. And it also illustrates that, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, you actually do have to kind of think and be a little clever in order to figure out in order to find these. So, unfortunately, it's not completely straightforward to compute a nice formula for the coefficients of the Taylor expansion in general. But often you can do it. Okay, so let's do the first example, which is letting f of x be sine of x and a equals pi over 2. And our goal is to find the Taylor expansion of sine about that point. So quote, all we have to do is find a nice formula for the nth derivative of sine, evaluate it at pi over 2, and we'll be set. So really the way to do this is just to look at the various derivatives of your function and look for a pattern. So our function is f of x equals sine of x. And its first derivative is cosine of x. Its second derivative is minus sine of x. And its third derivative is minus cosine of x. Its fourth derivative is, we get back to where we started, sine of x again. And now you know for a fact that if you differentiate a few more times, you know exactly what's going to happen, because you got to where you started. The fourth derivative is equal to the function you started with. And now you know exactly what will happen for all future time when you differentiate sine over and over again. So, the only tricky business, though, is that you have this sine appearing here. And notice, or remember that we're really interested in the value at pi over 2. So let's evaluate each of these functions at pi over 2. So f at pi over 2, sine of pi over 2 is 1. Cosine of pi over 2 is 0. Minus sine of pi over 2 is minus 1. Minus cosine of pi over 2 is 0. And then then the pattern repeats indefinitely. 1, 0, minus 1, 0. You know what happens after this. So now we know all of the coefficients. We know exactly what the c sub n are. Because the pattern we're just computing the derivatives, and right here we just got back where we started, which is just f of x. And by evaluating the first four of them at pi over 2, I know it's going to happen forever. Now the problem is you have to write a nice little formula for these numbers that are appearing here. That makes it easier to describe the answer. I mean, you can now give me sort of c of n for an n, but it's nice to have a formula. So this can be kind of annoying, but let's see. Well, let's try to find a pattern for the even ends, since we know what happens for the odd ends. What are the odd c sub n's here? What is c sub 2n plus 1? What number do you get? So this is c sub 0, c sub 1, c sub 2, c sub 3, c sub 4, and so on. What are the odd c sub n's? I mean, what are the ones with the subscript that's odd?
Zero.
You see a pattern. They're all zero. Good. So this is zero. What about the even ones? They're either 1 or minus 1, and it alternates back and forth. And when n is 0, it's plus 1. So it's minus 1 to the n, like that. So now we have a nice formula, so we can write down the Taylor expansion of sine about pi over 2. sine of x is equal to the sum as n goes from 0 to infinity of minus 1 to the n x minus pi over 2 to the, now here's the key thing, what do I put here? There are two plus, well, I'll just tell you, 2n. The reason is because I wrote down the coefficient c sub 2n right here. This is c sub 2n. Okay, that's it. That is a formula for sine. That's a power series for sine. I haven't said anything yet about where it converges, and we'll work that out in a moment using the ratio test. But this is a power series for sine. And the way I found it was by taking derivatives until I noticed a pattern. Namely, I get back, I end up getting the same thing over and over again. I wrote down the values of the derivatives at pi over 2, and notice that there's a simple formula that gives all of these values of the derivatives. And I just put it together as described in the theorem. Okay? And I left off the terms 2n plus 1 because they're all 0. Right? See, c sub 2n is minus 1 to the n. C sub 2n plus 1 is 0, so I just left off this. Alright, there are two things to do. One is to figure out what the radius of convergence is, and the other is to do cosine. So, I'll do cosine, and then I'll do the radius of convergence. Cosine's really easy, because look, cosine of x is sine of x plus pi over 2. Right. There's a relation between sine and cosine. As a double check, note that if you plug in 0, here you get 1, and if you plug in 0 over here, you also get 1. Sine and cosine are off by just shifting by pi over 2. So if you just substitute x plus pi over 2 in that series, you'll get out a series for cosine. And in fact, what you get is n equals 0 to infinity, minus 1 to the n. And now if I replace x by x plus pi over 2 here, I just get x. This is x to the 2n. Okay? So once you know, say, sine, you can figure out what cosine is, but about maybe a different point. So it's often useful to use these relations. Okay, now let's figure out what the radius of convergence is of the series for sine. Is the series integer? And again, I'll use the ratio test. So the ratio test to find the radius of convergence. So you do is you take the limit as n goes to infinity of the successive quotients. Unfortunately, they're very complicated here. So it's absolute value of minus 1 to the n plus 1. Oh, I think I left off the over n factorials. Yeah. So notice in the formula c sub n is the nth derivative divided by n factorial. And over here, I left off the over 0 factorial over 1 factorial over 2 factorial over 3 factorial over 4 factorial and so on. That's important. This is over 2n factorial. This is 0 over 2n plus 1 factorial, which is just 0. So sorry about that. This is all divided by 2n factorial. So now it's even more complicated. X minus pi over 2 to the 2 n plus 1 divided by 2 quantity n plus 1 factorial. That's one of the things, and now I have to take that divided by the term with n, which is minus 1 to the n x minus pi over 2 to 2n divided by 2n factorial. Okay? It looks really complicated, but it cancels, almost everything cancels out. You get something really simple in just a second. So this is equal to the limit as n goes to infinity of so minus 1s don't matter because we're taking absolute values, and you have an x minus pi over 2 absolute value in the numerator, maybe actually squared. Squared, and then in the denominator we have, so this is 2n plus 1 factorial, so that's 2n plus 2, so you have two extra terms, so it's 2n plus 1 times 2n plus 2. Okay? And what happens as n goes to infinity to that number for any value of x? Zero. Why? So why does it go to zero?
Wait.
Just, you take a fixed value of x, you take the limit as n goes to infinity of this number, of this sequence. What happens? It goes to zero, because again, it's just a fixed number divided by these larger and larger numbers. And as n goes to infinity, this bottom goes to infinity. So this is zero. So the ratio test tells you that the series converges. It doesn't matter at all what x is. It converges for any value of x. So the radius of convergence of this Taylor series we wrote down for sine is infinity, which is really nice. R equals infinity. So any question involving sine, you could use this series for, instead of other things that you might have used. And for cosine, likewise, this series converges everywhere. Where again, the factorial should be here. Okay, questions? Yes?
Is your recorder on?
Yes. But it wouldn't have mattered if it wasn't.
Because the class is almost over.
So, I guess, let me see if there's anything else
I should tell you today. Okay, so the summary of today is the following. Given a function, almost any function in this class, there is a way of writing down a power series that equals that function, at least on some interval. And the way to do that is this theorem. It tells you that if you take the derivatives of your function and evaluate them at a and divide by n factorial, you get a collection of numbers, and this power series is a power series representation for your function. So there's a completely systematic way to go from functions to power series of those functions. And if you look online or probably in the book, you'll find tables that tell you power series for all the functions that you know about. Another thing to take away from today is that you should use the ratio test very often for determining the radius of convergence of a power series. And though it initially looks kind of scary, things cancel out very quickly and you get a simple example, a simple term. And finally, you have to sometimes spot a pattern in order to find the Taylor expansion. So any questions or comments? If you didn't get your exam, you should come up here and get it right now. And I have lots of extra copies of notes if you want them.
Hey, Ben. Can I get one?
Your exam? What's your last name?
There it is. Is that it?
Yep. What's your name? Last name? That's okay. That's okay. Here. Last name. Okay. Steven?
Yeah.
There you are.
Jane? Jeffrey?
There you are. How's your yellow? So how's it going?
Good.